Welcome to the Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of seven angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hello, my friends. This is Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach. So grateful to be back here with you. Grateful to be in this space right now, knowing that everything is going to get better. My kids started school last week on Thursday, and it's just like the sky is opening and the sun is shining down on me, and I have nobody around me. It's quiet, and I have so much creative energy building right now for me. Lots of fun things changing in my business, and I'm so excited about that. And I know I'm going to have more time to spend with you, and that brings me a lot of joy. I continue to get so many emails from my listeners, and I know that these podcasts are really important to some of you, and I honor that. I am always thinking about you. I have a long list of topics that I plan to bring to you in this podcast, and I just am grateful for you. I just want to tell you that. I also wanted to share a little bit about what's been going on in my life before we jump into this amazing topic of maintenance mode. Lately, I have been working through something that was such a cool insight for me to have that I want to share with you. My baby Hayes, he's almost 8 months old, hit a rough spot with his sleeping last week where he was getting up like every hour and refusing a pacifier, refusing his bottle. And I just thought, this kid does not know how to go to sleep by himself, and I'm going to have to help him learn that. And you know what that looks like, right? All you parents out there who've done sleep training, it looks like a lot of laying awake in your bed crying in the dark because your baby is crying alone in their room and you can't go in there and comfort them. It's just part of the deal. You know, when they're old enough to be able to sleep without eating every few hours, they just have to learn how to go back to sleep when they wake up in the middle of the night. It's a skill. It's self-soothing, and it has to be learned. They aren't typically just born knowing how to do that. And so the last few days have been a lot of sleep training, and it's really hard. It's stressful to listen to your baby cry and not get up and go help them in the middle of the night, right? But I have to keep reminding myself that this is just such a metaphor for how growth works in life. When we want change for something better, something greater, and for us, sleep, right? It's just so critical. It's so valuable and so important to prioritize that if you want something really amazing in your life, you're often going to have to walk through the fire of change. We only grow when we're uncomfortable, sadly. There's typically pain or discomfort in the process of growth. And so I know that as a coach, and watching Hayes struggle, crying, having a hard time learning how to self-soothe, watching him do that without intervening is difficult but necessary. Like, I cannot do this work for him. I can't do this work for my clients, right? We can't do this work for somebody else. They have to learn how to do these things on their own. And when they do, they get something amazing out of it. And so if you're out there struggling in the process of change, I just want to comfort you and acknowledge you in doing the hard work to get something better, because it is uncomfortable and sometimes downright painful. But if you are willing to open up and walk into the pain, walk into that discomfort and embrace it and not want it to go away and understand that it's just simply the experience of growing, you can stay encouraged that you're doing it right and that there is something amazing on the other side of that. The older I get and the more experience in life that I have, the more I see this theme. It's almost like a universal law of growth, and it's so worth it. It's so worth it to do the work now so that you can enjoy the benefits later. And for me, I'm sleeping so much better, in case you wanted to know that. And it's something I am so grateful to be able to report. And I want to tell you guys a little bit before I jump into maintenance. I did hit my goals about 6 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer. So I've really been in this phase of maintenance, and I've allowed myself to be here for a little while before creating this podcast because I want to bring all the nuggets to you. I want to be in this experience just a little bit farther ahead than you so that I can bring it on such a deeply intimate, familiar level to you. So I had set my goals, and if you've been listening to my podcast months ago, you probably heard me say that I had set some goals for my weight loss and my fitness, and I was able to get below my weight loss goal. So I'm talking about releasing body fat, right, and building muscle, but my weight usually ends up being around 155 when I'm feeling really good in my body. I know that because I've done this so many dang times. What is this, the eighth time I've done this? I have definitely much more muscle mass than I've had, owing to a lot more protein in my diet. I can do 20 push-ups, you know, man push-ups without stopping. I can run 5 miles on gravel hills in my neighborhood with ease. That feels amazing. And right now I'm just feeling really strong. I'm feeling light and fast. I'm feeling lean, beautiful, like sexy, right? Hot AF. And I love the way I feel in my body right now. And it's everything that I had desired to experience when I set out to create this goal. And I get to experience this every day, right? It's freaking fabulous. Every time I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror, I like what I see. I love the feeling of getting dressed. I'm still pulling out clothes I haven't worn for a couple of years and putting them on, and it just looks good. I look good. You know, last night I did a workout I haven't done in a while, and I was just like, holy, I can lift a lot of weight. My belly is really flat while I'm doing these ab workouts. Like, it's just the experience, moment to moment, of being in a body that's healthy and strong is something to enjoy, to relish. And you deserve to have that too. I want to teach you how to create that. That's what I do. And, you know, so many people ask me when I get to this part of maintenance, like, okay, so you hit all your goals and now what? Now it becomes about maintenance. It becomes about maintaining the results that I've already created. And again, I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you because I'm living this right now. And it means that I get to share my lived experience with you. So many of us fear maintenance because this is where we can lose focus. We can get distracted and sloppy. And little by little in small, sometimes imperceptible ways, go back to old habits or old ways of being with food, or old ways of, you know, how we exercise and move our body or prioritize our sleep, all these behaviors that recreate old unwanted states of compromised health. So let me go first, right? Let me lead you to the place that so many of you are dreaming of getting to in your future. So many of you are out there right now in the process of creating freedom from type 2 diabetes. The beautiful thing is that we've been progressing forward toward our healthy future selves, keeping sustainability as a priority. I've said it over and over. What it takes to get there is what it takes to stay and play there. We will have to keep doing what works to lose the weight, to get rid of the meds, to normalize the blood sugars, to heal the insulin resistance. We will have to keep doing those things to enjoy those results long term. And of course, that's true. Even though some people have this unconscious desire or hope that they can go back to living in a way that made them sick, that is obviously not logical. And you are the creator and designer of the lifestyle that creates the state of health you desire. So you will know what that lifestyle looks like. And that is incredibly empowering. You will know how. You will have made it happen. You know what is required and how to follow that plan. And I just want to contrast that to what most people say when they reach out to me for help. They say, I don't know. I don't know why this feels so hard. I don't know how to heal my body. I feel powerless. I feel alone and scared. I'm here to show you that it doesn't have to be this way, right? This is my mission. It's my mission to inspire and empower you, whether you're listening to my podcast or you hire me, to be able to do this work for yourself. And what I want you to get out of this podcast is the perspective of how to approach maintenance so that it feels easy. It needs to feel pretty easy and good for it to last for the rest of your life. Now, because realizing your goal can present a new obstacle of no longer having a goal to work towards, it can cause you to lose focus. And this is something I noticed in myself a couple weeks ago. And as I realized the impact of hitting my goal on my level of focus, I saw a new obstacle appear. I wasn't as intentional about my plan. I noticed I was allowing more this and that into my diet, you know, an extra piece of chocolate and then another, a few potato chips, just a more lax attitude around things that were only allowed as planned exceptions in my normal food plan. And it made me recall this past experience of hitting my weight loss and fitness goals, you know, in the past. And then the journey turned into a how much can I get away with not following my food plan game? I would get lazy a few days, see and feel the result of that in my body or see it on the scale, and then, you know, buckle down, get back on plan for a few days, which would then get me back to baseline, and then the cycle would repeat. And let me tell you, this did not feel good. It turned out to feel pretty exhausting. You know, you get sloppy, you gain the weight and feel bad, and then you get back on plan, you work really hard to stay there, and then you return to the baseline, the goal, but then you repeat that cycle again, and it just feels like this push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. And it felt like drama. It felt like constant fixation on my food and my body and this love-hate relationship with food. So when I noticed this wanting to creep in a couple weeks ago, I was like, no way. I do not want to recreate that. Repeat, I do not want to recreate that. This is about creation. What are you creating? So as I was describing this to my husband one evening, he said, why not just set a new goal, you know, like something new that you could create, like a new weight loss goal or a fitness goal. And I could immediately feel the folly in that. Not to discount my husband's thoughtful idea. And remember, seeing what you don't want is still a valuable thing because it helps you gain clarity on what you do want, which was not that for me right now. I knew it because I felt it in my body, right? I want you guys to all think about how you have like a gut feeling or an intuition that is felt in the body. And when something isn't right for you, you can kind of feel that. I really like to hone that skill in my own life, and I love for my clients to do that too. So why was this not the right thing, this suggestion to just create a new goal? Well, because I know I would be able to create that in short order, and then I'd be right back here in the same predicament. So I'd rather just figure this out now, and then if I want a lower, you know, body fat percentage or a defined tricep or whatever lights me up, I can create that. So here's the number one question. What am I creating? What do I desire? Always start there, friends. Why? Because it's the first step in creation, but it also gives you a doorway into the feeling you want to experience. Remember the feelings? Remember, as I started this podcast, how I described how it feels to be at my goal? These feelings are what I've been connecting to all these months in the process of creation. You want to be able to connect to the feelings of your goal outcome throughout the journey to keep you focused, intentional, and taking consistent action, even when it's hard. So now that I am enjoying these feelings of a strong, fast, sexy, capable, you know, confident body, they're familiar to me, they're pretty normal to me, and now I need to get clear on what I am now creating. And the answer to that is ease, peace, and freedom. I want my lifestyle to be as normal and as easy as my dental hygiene routine, right? I brush my teeth every morning, every evening, and I floss at bedtime. You know, maybe I use some mouthwash and I see the dental hygienist every 6 months. Super boring. Routine, for sure. There's no drama. And my teeth are clean and healthy. And I'm free from dental woes. I smile big and bright, right? So I want my food plan to be somewhat like this. Not that my food is boring by any means. Like, I enjoy my food and I like to try new things. So let me show you what I mean by pretty routine, pretty rinse and repeat. My food plan looks like this. I eat 2 to 3 meals a day within 6 to 8 hours of the day. That's my window. And how much I eat, whether it's 2 to 3 meals or the portions that I consume, are always based on my hunger and satiety signals. So if I'm more hungry, I will eat more food. And if I am less hungry, I will eat less food. And I stay very present with my body's natural hunger signals. I eat 40% or so of protein. I eat moderate fat, so like 50%-ish. And I eat pretty low carb, like around 10 to 15% of carbs. And that's my total intake. Like, if you looked at a pie chart, that's what it would look like. I eat whole food. And I have a 12-gram-ish or less sugar treat once a day, every day. It's usually dark chocolate. So I will just look at the label and make sure I'm sticking to one serving or less, which looks about 12 grams of sugar. Anything special, I have to plan it ahead of time. And I fast 24 hours once a week. I work out because I enjoy it, and the plan is whatever feels supportive right now. So I like a combo of walking, running, squats and lunges, push-ups, you know, HIIT videos, Pilates, just whatever feels like what I want to do. And I do that about 5 days a week. And if I stay on this plan, I get to enjoy my current results 100% of the time with no drama. If I lose focus or get sloppy, I create drama, and that takes my energy and attention. I go from ease and peace to stressed out and frustrated. Instead of freedom, I get fixation. Remember this, friends. Discipline leads to freedom. So here's how this actually plays out. When I'm going about my business, okay, my brain will try to convince me to go off plan. Some kind of extra treat or some French fries every day. You can guarantee it's every day that my brain wants to party and indulge. It's just like a kid, right? Like, I have so many kids and it seems like it's nonstop. They just want to skip school and eat 5 popsicles and can I have some Cheetos and can I play devices nonstop? Every day, all day. I am not special to that. My brain still wants to do these things too. And I see the thoughts, I see the idea come into my consciousness, and it happens in a flash, right? It's so easy to miss if you're not paying attention. And it's in this moment that I choose. This is called being intentional. I recognize I am choosing between momentary pleasure that cannot ever be satisfied, guys. I know that. Or peace, freedom through discipline. I remind myself and I feel the peace and I choose that. Like I almost like reach for the peace and the freedom right over whatever it is that's in my face that looks good. I also say to myself, hey, if you really want that, you can have it. We just got to plan it ahead of time. And you know what's funny? As badly as you might think you want the fries or the popcorn or the Cadbury cream egg, how often do we actually plan that stuff? When we're thinking with our human brain that is protecting our future, we often don't feel as compelled to eat all the things we think we want. Knowing that has helped me view these cravings with a kind of attitude. It's like, you think that's really important right now, but you just wait. So let's recap this. And then I want to give you some practical tools to use in your maintenance phase that will keep you on track. Okay, so you have to remain in creation and connected to the feeling of what you desire. Right now, I'm creating peace and freedom. Oh, I want that more than anything my brain is craving in the moment. And as long as I can connect to that, I can choose it. And I can still have what I want anytime as long as I plan it ahead of time. Okay, so here's a fun thought. When you reach maintenance, you'll have solved this problem. Think of all the time, energy, resources you are devoting to solving this problem in your life. Like, can you imagine, once you have solved it, how much energy and attention are you going to free up to give to a new creation? Like, what do you want that to be? Maybe you can't even go there right now. You might not be able to imagine that, but eventually you will get there. And then you will get to choose something new to create. And that's so exciting. I'll tell you, I am never going to be done creating. I think that's what we're here to do. So now that I'm not focusing so much energy on creating a lean, strong body, but rather just maintaining it, I'll be putting more energy into some other creation, whether it's my business, my parenting, just something else that lights me up. And there's always something I want to create. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm intensely curious about what you want to create. I'm serious. Email me. One super valuable insight I also want to share about maintenance is that it's important that you create a practice where you focus your attention on this area of your life regularly. That is one thing that having me as a coach provides. That's one thing, you know, a quiet, safe space for my clients to do some really important things, right? Reflect and learn from the past week, right? We don't learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on our experience. We're assessing progress. My clients are identifying things that they want to test or change, and they're making decisions and then being held accountable to those decisions. So how do you create that structure for yourself? You schedule intentional focus time to do this with yourself, you know, every week, every month, whatever supports you in your maintenance plan. And in this meeting with yourself, you know, the CEO of your life, I recommend doing what I call an evaluation. It's a very simple way to create powerful insights, decisions, and plans. Okay. There's just three questions. It is so simple, but so powerful. The three questions are: one, what's working for you right now? Two, what's not working for you? And three, what do you want to do differently? And I want you to do it in this order. What's working? What's not working? Don't do it the opposite way. What's not working? Because what's not working feels like crap. And if you see all the things that are working for you first, you're way more likely to want to keep going. So let's focus the mind on all the reasons we need to celebrate and recognize that we're amazing. Then we can look at what's not working. And I'll tell you, When I do this with my clients, what's working is a big, long list. I want you to be exhaustive. I want you to fill with as many possible things you possibly can those two lists, what's working, what's not working. It's exhaustive. So you just keep asking yourself, and what else is working? And what else is going well? And what else am I proud of? And what else is working? Okay, until you just can't get any more answers. And you do the same for what's not working. And what's not working usually is shorter than what's working. Once you have the perspective of these two questions being answered fully, you're informed. You're informed enough to see, what do you want to do about it? What do you want to change? What actions do you want to take now that you're aware? And you do this practice every time you feel something needs tweaked or fine-tuned. And you can actually use this in any part of your life in the practice of creation, whether it's like, you know, a better marriage or a better financial situation. It doesn't matter. I'm just showing you how to use this to take care of your body. And then the last skill I want to offer here is anticipating obstacles. So if you look ahead, do you see anything coming that you need to plan for? Changes, you know, like a new job, any new demand on your time or energy, something like, you know, volunteer work or coaching, like a soccer group or, I don't know, church activities, just anything that's going to take your time or energy. Are you going to have, you know, family coming to stay with you for an extended period of time? Like, what do you need to plan for that's coming? Are you going to be navigating any changes with your body? Any med changes, surgeries, maybe perimenopause, or noticing a new food sensitivity? Are there any stressful life events coming? You know, like taking care of an aging parent? There will be times of stress that can throw us off our routines and systems. Planning for these can be life-saving. And the number one question I want you to ask and answer for yourself is, how can I best support myself through this time or this challenge? It might look like asking for help, preparing easier meals, or just getting some more rest. There are just different seasons of life and our needs can change, so it could be valuable to zoom out and re-engineer some things to make your plan more supportive. Access your creative potential to problem solve when your capacity for self-care is compromised. You know, I talked to a lady yesterday morning who has done some amazing work to bring her A1C from 11 to 6.3% since January of this year. And she's feeling kind of stuck, you know, seemingly hitting a plateau before she's reached her goal. And I just want to tell you that these kinds of situations can be a real fork in the road. You know, one way you keep using the same strategies and use them harder and hoping that eventually you're going to get there. The other way is allowing yourself to recruit some help, a guide and an expert who can help you break through and build momentum that gets you down the home stretch quickly. I offer the other way option. It involves less struggle, less confusion, and less time. You can apply to work with me on my website, sarahtownley.com. You guys, I'm getting all kinds of emails from my listeners out there who are doing this work and creating amazing results. Shout out to Tony and Anne Marie who emailed me in the last week or so. I am so proud of you. If I'm helping you too, don't forget to review this podcast and share it with your friends. I love you guys, and I'll see you on the next podcast. Okay, don't leave yet. You're going to want to hear about this. If you love my podcast, if I'm the only sane voice you found on this subject, if I've already helped you, you need to check out my online course. It's a start to finish, step-by-step video course that teaches you all the tools you need to know to beat this disease. You can find it on my website, sarahtownley.com, along with lots of other free tools that will make taking care of your diabetes so much easier. So get over there right now, See you there.